Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together?
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I am your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is Saturday, February 13th, a day before Valentine's Day. We hope you are doing well. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've never said that up top, and I always forget to. We've been forgetting for 8 months consecutively, but we do have a YouTube channel if you want to watch a video version of this for some reason. To see our faces, although Mike and I recently came to the conclusion that we have radio faces.
We have podcast faces.
Faces, which what that means is we're sixes in the world, but in the radio world, we're very hot. Our voices are very hot. So
on the podcast,
for some reason,
tens, yeah. If there was some sort of dating app where it was just voices,
we'd win.
Just fucking, we'd be crushing
we'd
it.
Slaying, we'd slaying, dude.
Just
oh my
listen
God.
To this, you know? And my funny
I wish people would... I wish that came up more. You know, a lot of times you ask a woman, wait, what kind of guys are you into? Whatever. And they never say voice. I wish that would come up because, goddamn, I'd be out there every day.
This is that's why I'm not good at... I mean, I'm married now, so it doesn't matter. But, like, I can only... I'm only attractive. I'm like a squid. Wait, yeah. I'm like a jellyfish. I'm like a jellyfish as in that I'm deadly at close range. Okay,
oh,
you get close to me, like, and then you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got to get close to me in order for me to do my thing on you, you know? I'm not dangerous at a distance.
Do my thing on you, which is to hurt you so bad that you have to go to the hospital, apparently. That's what jellyfish do.
Yeah, exactly. You got to pee on yourself.
that's the Mike Nguyen effect. So anyways, please check us out on YouTube. That's what I'm trying to say.
Subscribe to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. Patreon is a way for you to support the podcast so we can keep doing this thing. We are not professional comedians in the sense that this is the majority of our money. Well, maybe Fumi, kind of,
but not really, not anymore.
Kind of real, but not really. Okay. Yeah. And so if you want us to continue working, we need your money.
We need your money.
This is not, despite what it sounds like, we do not live glamorous lives hobnobbing with celebrities.
Not.
Celebrities come onto our podcast. They do their thing, and we literally never hear from them ever again. They block us on Instagram.
They unfollow us immediately. It's a whole thing.
I tried to FaceTime once with Chris Pang. I was just like, "Hey, what's Chris Pang up to?" No,
no.
He said, "Who this?"
He said, "Who this?"
Who this? New phone. So
that's so funny because I tried to. One time we had the hot Asian guy from Insecure on, Alex Hodge.
Alexander Hodge.
He like doesn't even follow me anymore. Hilarious. Can't even really say that we're friends anymore, you know?
I don't understand. Yeah.
But it was worth it. It was worth it.
So support us on Patreon and it'll be a good time.
Yes. And in return, you get bonus episodes and behind the scenes content. You get stuff, okay? It's not, we're
you
not
do
just,
get stuff.
We're not beggars.
Not just,
you get stuff. Anyways, you know, it's so funny. When you were earlier, when you're like, Fumi kind of does this comedy full time, but not really. And I said, oh, I lost my job. I realized that I'm in the worst position ever. I'm a freelance comedian, Mike. What the hell? Right now, I freelance my comedy skills. That is the worst position to be in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I do think that it is slightly worse than what you were before, which is corporate comedian, where you're like a comedian, but you also have to wear a tie sometimes.
Viacom comedian.
I get it.
Well, I'm a Viacom comedian. Used to be. Okay. I want to start here before I bring on our guest. And I want to ask you about it. It's Black History Month. So happy Black History Month.
Wait, hold on. Do you want to do this shout out?
No, we'll do it next week.
You can do last week. Okay, next week. Okay, okay.
Because I need to ask them some questions. I forgot about that. Fair. Okay, it's Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. Also, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Okay. I wanted to, this week, I was trying to come up with like a little story to tell about Valentine's Day or Black History Month. You know, I'm not black, but I got some stories, you know. And I had this, I want to call this segment Ratatouille Flashback Segment, because if you're a big fan of the podcast, you know that sometimes Mike and I will be talking and we have a Ratatouille flashback of something really terrible that happened to us when we were kids. But we didn't know it was terrible. And as adults, we now realize it was terrible. So it's like that movie in Ratatouille when he eats the Ratatouille and he has a flashback of his nice childhood. For us, it's someone calling us Ching Chong, okay? But
it's a racist version of that. We eat like a cracker and then we're taken back to this time. Yeah. We got threatened in a parking lot.
So because it's Valentine's and Black History Month, this combines both. Okay, so travel back with me to 2005, 2004. Okay, okay. I was in middle school. I was in eighth grade. It was Valentine's Day. I had a girlfriend, like a middle school girlfriend that you like. Don't really talk to, but like you're like together for maybe 4 days. That's like a long term relationship at that
point.
But
everybody knows in middle school too. Everybody knows like, oh my God, did you know that Fumi and Amber are like dating or whatever? Yeah.
Ooh. Exactly. And it's weird because you actually talk a lot more when you're flirting, and then when you're like, let's be boyfriend, girlfriend, you like stop talking because now you're all awkward. You know?
Yeah, you don't know what to do.
It's like one of those things.
What are you gonna do now? Yeah.
So I had a girlfriend, okay? She was an Irish dancer. She was really into Irish dancing. Grew up in the suburbs of Ohio. Okay, by the way, so that's the context here. I'm in Ohio, and then my good friend at the time, Richard, football player, he was a black dude. He was dating like her close friend. Okay, so my girlfriend, let's just call her Kelsey. That wasn't her name, but we'll just call her Kelsey. And then her
seems
friend,
like someone who would be an Irish step dancer.
And then her name was Lindsay, and my friend Richard, they were dating. So on Valentine's Day, we're like, we should all do like a double date. But when you're 14, all that means is you go to somebody's fucking basement and you watch some movies. So yep. I go to Kelsey's basement, and I don't know, it's like maybe 7 o'clock. It's not that late, but I'm there.
It's like on a weekend, like a Friday or something.
Might have been a Friday. And so it's in the basement. We're all in middle school, but it's me, Japanese guy, Richard, black dude, and then Kelsey and Lindsay, who are both white girls. Okay.
Oh yeah. No, and I've seen this category on Pornhub. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
I mean, this sounds like a porn.
One question before you get into it though, because I had a girlfriend also in middle school.
Okay.
She's an optometrist now. Very nice lady. And how... The reason why it's weird too in middle school is you can't get around. You know, how did you get to this person's house?
I biked.
Yes,
I was because as a kid I was so embarrassed to talk to my parents about like girls.
No, of course.
I would just be like,
how would you ask your mom, hey, can you drop me off at my girlfriend's house? So
I mean, like, she would do it, but she would just ask me questions.
But it's weird. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I would rather bike 7 miles as a fucking 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. You're going 2 hours,
bro,
in order to potentially hold hands with someone.
For this action. Yeah, exactly. So I'm in the basement. And like, you know, we're like there, but her parents, Kelsey's parents, are like kind of conservative, and they were like, they like, I don't know if you remember, but in middle school, they like, parents always have you leave the door open.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. That's like a tactic. That, what do you think that's gonna stop us? Like, you know, like,
oh,
they just think
stop,
like, they just think especially if you have a daughter, they just think, I think every parent just thinks like every boy walking is trying to like fuck your daughter or whatever.
I mean, anyways, yes, they are. Yes, yep.
So we were there, and like, the dad like didn't know this was happening, and the mom was cool with it, but the dad was like, he was like visibly upset that there were these two boys in her basement on Valentine's Day. And I just for a long time just thought it was because we were boys, but like I just remember he kept coming down every 20 minutes and being like, Kelsey, the boys need to go. He kept saying that over and over again, and like, we laughed at like, I don't know, maybe like an hour after we got there. So I had to like bike again, you know, bike again back to my house. And like, but like, the way he was like kind of yelling at us and like looking at us, I think that there was some like racial thing happening there now that I'm imagining it, you know, because this guy was like, I think he was like pretty heavily involved in the church. And like, what you got to understand about the suburbs is like, the suburbs, you know, this happened in New York too with the white flight, but like the suburbs is like a white person's a mecca, right? They went out there because they wanted to get away from the inner city.
That's their safe space, yes.
And so from this guy's perspective, he like, I mean, I don't know if it would if the same thing would happen if the black kid wasn't there, but I mean, I don't think it helped that it was a black guy and me, you know, but like, and also he was like making out with that girl and I was like, trying to, but like nothing really happened.
Oh, they were like they were making out and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, they're making out. Maybe that got the.
Did he see them making
out? No, he didn't see them making out. But okay. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, at that point, like he was just like really mad, and I was trying to think about this from his point of view, and I think for him it was like, you know, this guy was like heavily involved in the church. You know, he lived a good life. He went to college. He's got a beautiful family. He goes to church every Sunday. You know. He just wants to be around white people. You know, he did everything. He did everything he was supposed to do to be around white people, right? And here we are in 2005 when it's not even that progressive. These two non-white kids in the basement trying to bang their daughters, you know? And he was just so upset. And I on my bike ride, I just remember thinking like, geez, like I wanted to talk to the father just to be like, hey, I'm not going to do anything. I won't be having sex for another 20 years, unfortunately, you know? Like, if he only knew,
don't worry.
There's no threat, you know? But I was, like, thinking about the other day in the shower. I was thinking about middle schoolers in my shower. And, I was just, like, just that face. I was like, Black History Month, Valentine's Day, what's good? So I just wanted to let you... That was my Ratatouille flash moment. Have you had a thing like that?
I don't know. I'm trying to think back to my middle school dating life, which is mainly consisted of hanging out with my girlfriend until she had to get on the bus to go home, you know, because you only had
like 5 minutes after school.
You got 5 minutes after school, man. You know, that's when you're making your that was our date. That was our date, you know? It was like, hey, I'll meet you after school. And like, then we would just like hold hands for like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean, I remember I had a girlfriend and it's, she was Korean. And here's the thing, which is why I don't know how racial it is. Cause she was Korean. She's Asian. And she and I were dating in the middle school sense, which means nothing. And I remember we met up after school and her mom picked her up, which, you know, so she didn't have a bus thing. So, and I lived like nearby, like I could walk to school. So I was just hanging out and we were holding hands. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
her mom saw us holding hands. Right. And she was, and this is like a very Korean, like church Koreans, you know how church Koreans are,
you know, I know how they
church Koreans, right. And her parents made us break up.
How do you mean? What does that mean? They made you break up. What does that like?
They had a talk with her. They had a talk with her, and then she told me, okay, we can't like hang out. And then you stop calling the house. You know what I'm saying?
Stop calling the house?
Here's the thing is that I don't
know. You're 13.
That's exactly. So I don't know how much it is a racial thing for. Listen, if I had a young daughter and I came to the basement and there was a boy down there, I don't care if he was from Mars. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting the shotgun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just an instinct.
True. Yeah,
but there could be a racial thing. I don't know.
We don't know. We'll never know. We have to get them on as guests.
Let's call Kelsey. Let's call Lindsay and whoever and your friend David.
Let's get the gang back together.
Let's get the gang back together and let's call Mr. Kelsey and see what's going on.
Yes, absolutely.
And just let's settle this once and for all. Maybe they still have that basement. That would be nice, right?
I know. And I want to ask our guest about this too because I know she grew up in the burbs. She might have something similar happen to her, you know, angering white parents in whatever capacity. So I'm going to bring her up. We are so excited to have her. I cannot believe she came. Every time we have a famous person, it's always a surprise. We're always in the Zoom room like, they're not going to come, right? We actually always have like a sub-episode planned in case they don't show up. It's never happened.
You know what's funny is that the only people who have ever canceled on us are nobody comedians.
Yeah, nobody comedians. Yeah.
The famous celebrities. Yes. Actual celebrities calling in from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Show up.
Show up.
But No. You know, like fucking like Chris from The Creek in the Cave. He'll text us at the last minute and be like, hey guys, sorry I'm hungover and
yeah.
You know, come on.
That's a very good point. And honestly, that's probably why these celebs make it because they show up, guys.
They show up.
That's entertainment. If you want to make it in the biz, you gotta show up. Okay, take it from me. an amateur podcaster slash freelance comedian. So your guest today is the co-host of the Add to Cart podcast. Definitely check that out. She's the creator of Bajillion Dollar Properties, which it was available on CISO. I don't know where it's available now. Pluto TV, it says here, a producer wrote. So check that out on Pluto TV if you got it. But most importantly, she's got this amazing documentary called Origin Story on Amazon Video, where she embarks on a journey to meet her biological father she never knew. And it's incredible. So we are so happy to, and delighted to have her. Give it up for the hilarious Kulap Vilaysack, everybody. Yay!
Woo! Yay! So I'm happy to be here. You guys use the term celebrity very generously.
No, 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 no.
You are a celebrity. You are a celebrity. Okay? I can see into your house. Anyone with a decorated fireplace is a celebrity.
It's a celebrity. Yeah, it's any celebrity is anyone with a fireplace.
There's a candle. There's candles on the mantle.
Wow,
that's
you can afford candles. You are killing it.
Yeah.
All right, I guess I'm flexing. Hey, I didn't know.
Also, you have like really nice, expensive looking plants. I saw those in Hawaii. Those are like $70. Okay, I know how they roll. That's
I know how you are. Okay, you're hanging out. You're probably calling
just
in
Hawaii.
You're calling in from Silver Lake or whatever it is. Look at your Rode microphone.
Oh, okay, so you got a nice microphone too. Now, her and Suchin both had the Shure 7B mics. That's the Joe Rogan level. You know what I'm saying?
The SMB7s?
Oh, yeah. Come on, SMB7? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be compared to Joe Rogan.
That's right.
Hey, shots fired. Hey. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes.
We had your co-host,
my pleasure,
Suchin, on last time. Have you ever, you know, you listened to our story, and have you ever had a so what I would call an Asian flight moment where you got to run for your life from the white people. Have you ever had that from the parents, with the parents?
With the parents? No. I mean, that my Ratatouille moment is more my Cambodian boyfriend jumping off of the my town hall, my town home, like second story balcony, because my parents showed up unexpectedly. garage opens and he leaps
damn
and flies, you know, parkour style.
Yes. Damn.
Down the street.
That's how parkour got invented. Because somebody
you're
waiting for the garage door sound. You know the garage door sound? That's how you know they're coming home. Okay, put your pants on and jump out the window.
Yeah, that's like, you know, the starting gun at, you know, during the Summer Olympics.
That's amazing. I can tell you were a lot cooler than me when you were in high school, because when you hear the garage sound, you think back to this moment where you were having fun with your boyfriend and he had to jump out. When I hear the garage door open, I just think of me like downloading so much porn on Kazaa, and I'm like, what? My mom's going to be here in 20 seconds. What am I? I just shut off the internet. You know, it was a whole thing. But they had Cambodian people in Minnesota? Was there a community there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. St. Paul. I mean, of course, you know, suburbs of Minnesota, right. Much like you, you know, there's the snow isn't the only thing that covers the ground. It's very white, very Scandinavian, German descendants.
Yes.
And then you have, you know, an influx of Southeast Asian immigrants, and later a wave of Ethiopian immigrants.
Word.
And all of it from a very strong church system.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Is that where a lot of Hmong are there too? Are there a lot of Hmong in Minnesota?
Yes, I think the highest population, I believe, second to Northern California.
Oh, shit.
Or like Sacramento
area.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then a lot of quickly before we get into this thing, I shouts to a lot of our new fans are from Laos. We kind of went viral on
some Laotian website thing.
Laotian Instagram influencer.
I need to know, because this is like Suchin brought this up. Who was the account?
Hold on here.
First of all, very excited.
Hold on here. Well, we can look it up.
Okay, let me look it up. Hold on.
Yeah.
While you're looking it up, I want to say Sabaydi Pinong.
Yes.
Whoa,
see,
shit.
Mike? I said that last week, but I didn't pronounce it as well as she did. But yeah.
Well, I didn't get that at all.
We wanted to bring this up because we were researching you. Okay, I'm sorry. The account is called Laos Supply.
Laos
yes,
Supply.
That's my brother, Long.
No
oh,
way.
You know him. You know him.
I mean,
you know him.
Well, brother as in, you know, you guys get
oh,
it, right?
I see.
At a certain
okay.
age, everyone's
okay.
your
yes,
brother
yes,
and sister.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, he's in... Yeah, he's in Los Angeles.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we had one of our listeners. So we do this. We'll do this later. But we have a segment called Mismanagement Consulting, where we like solve our fans' problems, and we try to do it like in a comedic, silly way, where the advice is actually not that good. But somebody called in and was like, "Hey, I'm Laotian." By the way, I'm sorry. Is it Laotian or like Lao? What is the way to say like? Yes.
Let's have that conversation.
Let's clear this up. Because I want to make sure we're getting it right.
Yeah. So Laotian, Shen, that's French, right? So you know that that area was once called Indochina, Indochina, from French colonization. So Laotian is, you know, Mike. We're all there. I don't like to say that because to me that's like the colonizer's language.
Oh.
But that is sort of like what, like the government recognizes, like if you on the census, Laotian.
Gotcha.
Right?
That's the government.
And it's also, that's the government. And so I'm Lao from Laos. Yes. That's the, that is the ethnic group I'm from. And Laotian is supposed to encompass all, 200 plus ethnic groups.
Gotcha.
Right. So that's supposed to be Hmong and Tai Lu and Tai Dang and Tai Dum and like all these like so many different groups. So but I also like want people to rep like, a lot of people who are Hmong don't identify as Laotian. Right. Some do. Right. You know, so it's and also there's just like old stuff, that I want to be sensitive to.
Yeah.
Which is the Lao has always been the majority in that country. Yep. And so there has been like injustice and stuff like that. So I also just want to be, I want to be kind of clear on who I am and, we all try to do our
best.
Well, we're trying.
One thing is clear. Me and Mike apparently were just insulting thousands of people last week when we kept saying Laotian. So sorry.
No,
we did
not,
you're not.
You're not. I just don't want to. I don't know.
I feel that. It's not for me.
It's just not for me.
Yeah, I love that. Yep. But,
And that's always one thing that's interesting to me is that like you look at a map of Southeast Asia and it's just like a crazy jumble of like tribes and like different peoples all mixed together and like the whole like let's just say even the idea of Vietnam that's like a new thing, that's like a brand new thing. And Laos is like a new thing that was that you know what I'm saying, it's not like and these borders this is very true for all colonized people because I was just I got into this rabbit hole for a second, and I promise this will be funny eventually. Not right now, but like it's like these French people were like, "Hey, we have nation states. You guys should have nation states too." And then everybody is just like looking at them like, "What the fuck are you talking about? I only know my people, and even that is like in flux constantly, and that's why we get into these all these like crazy conversations about what to call each other because like it doesn't." A lot of these things are like brand new,
Yeah, and then there's your ethnic identity, there's your cultural identity. So I culturally identify with being Lao American, but then my 23andMe, I got a lot of Vietnamese, and that 100 makes sense.
Yo, you took a 23andMe?
Because
I thought
That's ballsy for Asian people. I feel like
I was early adopter.
Damn.
I was when they were like given maybe like. Maybe unresponsible health info. That's how early I gave them my DNA. They probably sold. I'm like Henrietta Lacks. They probably sold.
Oh yeah,
shit.
No, they cloned you. They cloned you. Okay, there's another kulop out there somewhere because
you
got blood in there.
Why did you do that? I feel like that like only like a certain type of people with certain personalities were like yes 23andMe like back in like 2007.
It was so early on that I still get I was grandfathered in and like I still get some of like the stuff that
you know like the oldest
get.
Plan what the fuck rollover minutes what the hell's going on
that's right rollover minutes that's right I am a cheap apartment in New York so I don't why did I do that but like my mother-in-law wanted us all to do Ancestry. Mm. And I was like, I just can't be giving my DNA out like this. I can't also be giving it to them. You know, let me just, I'm gonna draw
that's
a line.
That's so funny.
You can't be sending your stem cells everywhere.
Yeah, you had a DNA hoe phase. I love it.
That's right, okay. Gotta pull back. We're getting older. We don't need to spread ourselves like that.
Literally spreading yourself around. So for this segment, and I think this will be good. So in the segment, we were trying to say, the person had to ask the question, how do I explain where I'm from? Because I'm from Laos. People don't know where Laos is. They don't know any of that shit. And we had some advice, and we're not going to even say it, but I thought it was funny, but it doesn't matter. But how do you explain where you're from when people ask that? Because like Vietnamese people know, we know, we're like, oh yeah, we're over there. But a lot of people don't. And do you have like a shorthand way to get there quickly, or do you just kind of go, you know what, I'm not going to even explain because it's not worth my time?
Well, I think, look, it is the burden is on us to educate. Mm. And sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes it's fine. Mm. But I still feel like that is, for me, where I really, it's important to me to push representation and for people to know. Yeah. Where Laos was, and for people to know that there was a secret war. Yep. Like that, I can't keep the secret. Yo. If that's important
you
to me.
You got a big mouth when it comes to war. I understand.
Yo.
Yeah, that's right.
That's an interesting thing, because on a segment once on AV Club, you were talking about the secret war and how the U.S. bombed Laos and killed like a tenth of the population. And you know what's, it's crazy, because like the secret war sounds like a really tight Marvel movie, but in reality is a horrible thing that happened to your people. I mean, like, you know.
And continues to happen because people, by the way, super funny. People keep, we're being so
speaking
funny
of
right
which,
now.
Speaking of carpet bombing.
But you know what? Like, old people and babies still get like bombed, from embedded UXOs. Ha ha ha.
That's if like Aziz Ansari was doing this bit to this day. Yeah.
Oh my god.
We wanted to quickly touch on it because we're doing research on you, and I love how hard you rep Laos. And even last week, when we were 2 weeks ago, we were just being silly because we had an influx of Lao listeners, so we were just like side by D, like we're just being funny, and then people DM'd us like, oh my god, like fuck yeah dude, thank you, like people are so excited
and I was like,
and
this
like
is great.
And that would never happen for like a Chinese fan or a Japanese fan or a Korean fan. Like, they would just be like, yeah, they hear those words all the time, but specifically with like the Lao community, they were fucking,
they're
fucking pumped to hear me pronounce hello in a shitty accent, you know? Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. And, oh, sorry, to answer your question, I say like, oh, well, you know where, I'll go, look, there's Vietnam. And then there's Thailand and China, and Laos is in between. There you go.
You know what's cool too, though, is that we got a Japanese dude, we got a Lao comedian, and we got a Vietnamese dude, and we've all been bombed at different points in time by America.
Okay. We should
get a T-shirt going, right? Where it's like, hey, my country got bombed by America, and all I got was this shitty T-shirt. I think it could do very well.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like the Got Milk T-shirt, but it's like got bombed.
Got bombed?
Just
and everyone can get one.
Yeah, literally everyone. Yeah.
Literally everyone.
Have to be Asian. Just like literally anybody.
And pretty much,
one.
Even people of color in this country, they could probably get one too. So,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Look, and now there's drones.
Yeah,
you now know, there's like, drones. All that technology.
Now there's drones.
Brings us all together in a really dark way.
Well, you know me, Mike. You know me, right?
I know.
If you know this, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm out there.
Yes.
I'm out there. I'm out there pounding. And a lot of people are like, Fumi, why are you so good at pounding? And by a lot of people.
Yeah. I always ask that. Yeah. I don't even believe you.
By a lot of people, I just mean Mike. The secret is, it is
Helix Sleep Mattress.
Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep and pounding.
Everybody's unique and pounds uniquely. And Helix knows that. So they have a different, they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm, wink, wink, mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you get hot. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. Because, hey, man, everybody needs love.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to the customized mattress that will give you the best sleep/pound of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for free for 100 nights, risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. But you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helix.com/Asian.
That's helix.com/Asian for up to $200 off. And when you're doing your threesomes, 2 free pillows.
Now back to this. Life hasn't been easy lately, but looking, feeling, and smelling your best doesn't have to be hard. With a short quiz, Hawthorne makes grooming for modern guys almost effortless. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile.
It's really easy. You start with their quiz. On this quiz, they ask you things like, what's your favorite drink? How do you like to spend a night out? Where do you like to go? That sort of stuff. It's a lot of, it's actually really fun. I love talking about myself. You answer all these quizzes. It's pretty short. It's pretty simple. And the products I got are awesome. I got 2 kinds of cologne. I got some shampoo. I have this really cool deodorant because I am also a stinky boy. And I think it really helps. You know, you got to take care of your beautiful Asian skin. Hawthorne even takes the risk out of it by giving you free shipping on your orders and returns. And if you don't like their products, they'll even retailer them for you based on your feedback.
With high-quality self-care products tailored specifically to your needs from Hawthorne, looking your best has never been easier. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and use promo code NOTASIAN to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co, promo code NOTASIAN. Hawthorne.co, promo code NOTASIAN. This is like the main thing I kind of wanted to ask you on this podcast, and I don't mind if it takes a long time or whatever, but you know, you got this documentary and you've talked about it so many times on other shows, so we don't need to get into the specific details, but I found it, what was interesting is, you know, it's kind of about you going out there and, you know, you find out your father wasn't an actual father. So you kind of embark on this journey to find out who you are and what your family history is. And in one of your interviews, you had said something like, you know, I had to kind of figure this out sort of before I could do anything else. You know, it was like that. It was like really, really important to you that you understood this history and to like find who you are. And that's kind of what you explore in your origin story. And like, that's like a thing I hear. I mean, obviously a lot of all comedians want to find their voice, but specifically with comedians who are from some sort of a diaspora history or community, that answer could be really hard to, sorry, that question could be hard to answer, but also like is so important, actually so important that Mike and I often talk about finding your voice is more important than making it in comedy. Like to me, I would just, to be able to answer the question, like, who are you succinctly? I would kill for that, because the other day I was doing this podcast called Are You Garbage? It's hosted by these 2 comedians from Philadelphia. They're super funny. Definitely check it out. I think my episode's coming out today. Actually, it's Monday. It's going to be Monday when this episode comes out. But, you know, their whole thing is like, did you come from a classy family or a trashy family, whatever? And then in the beginning, they kind of try to get a feel for you by asking you how you grew up. And I was explaining my life. Just not in a comedic way. And I was like, oh, I'm from Japan. Then I moved to Singapore. Then I moved to Ohio. My dad wasn't home. Now my parents live in Mexico. My dad got kidnapped once. Like, as I'm telling this story, I was like, oh my God, this makes no sense. Like, I almost felt a little embarrassed telling this story because I was like, this sounds like I'm like literally making shit up, you know? It's like such a fucking weird thing. And, you know, I think it's cool that you made this documentary and you wanted to find out who you are. And I guess I want to ask you, like, you know, what was it about, you know, finding your father or learning more about your family history that was like specifically really important to you, that you were willing to spend some money and go out there and kind of embark on this journey?
When you were talking, so many things came into my head, on a larger scale, like that isn't necessary, that binds us all together, the 3 of us here and other people who are listening, is that feeling, what you were describing was like, well, my story isn't, why tell my story? Yeah. It's not that interesting. Yes. And then, but then you start to tell your story and it's like, this sounds like I'm making it up.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
Right. Yeah.
Right. And there's something there about like not having the space we don't have a lot of models of telling our very American stories. Like, there's not a lot of people who've been able to do it. There are not a lot of things for us to look at and look up to in that regard. And in this country, there is, like, we start to erase. I'll speak for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I in the past have erased my identity. Mm-hmm. It lock and step with how other people have erased my identity.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense, absolutely. You guys? Like, so I would allow things. I, you know, sometimes it's about survival. Sometimes it's about just wanting to belong. Yeah. But I'll make, you know, like, I'll laugh at jokes that are, you know, not appropriate or racist, or I'll try to get ahead of those jokes, or I won't even, like, I will just be just Asian.
Yeah.
Not. For so many years, I was just Asian,
right?
And as you enter as a young woman in Hollywood, you are just Asian, right? You're Asian. You're the slutty Asian. You're the best friend Asian.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're the slutty 23 Asian.
I know the type.
Yeah. They didn't even see me that way. That's how I want to be seen.
Yeah, dude.
I want to be seen as somebody who will spit into a vial first.
Yo.
No one else wants to do
it? No, nobody.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Give me a glass of water. So there's that. Now, specifically to my story and why I did Origin Story, there a number of things where you get to I just so strongly identified with finding out that my dad wasn't really my dad. There's that part. Mm-hmm. But the other part is being lied to, mm-hmm. and being rejected by that father. Mm-hmm. Even more so than the first thing, the inciting incident,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My dad's not my real dad. Then that the realization of being lied to affected me more than the lie,
yes.
Right? And then being rejected affected me more than, like, that's what I really hung, like, that's what I, like, thought of myself as, somebody who was not good enough, and mm-hmm. and that this stuff, and when you're a kid, you know, like, my parents, you think they didn't have the capacity or the ability to handle that, right, on every level. And so I just put it away, but that stuff just, like, builds and builds and builds. And so as I get older and I'm trying, you're right, trying to find that voice, and that is the most important thing, because that's, like, that's your self-esteem. That's what that is. And so I want to start my own family, but I have all these questions, and the answers that I didn't have, I just sort of, like, filled in the blank, so it was my own story, like, it was my own. So it got to a point, and my relationship with my mom had gotten so bad that I was like, I need to do something about this.
I was watching the documentary, and in the first, like, 5 minutes, it's just like this crazy, like, shouting match that happens, right, with your mom, and you know, And immediately I felt like I could identify with this, because my parents would have these crazy shouting matches all the time. And for a long time when I was growing up, I just thought that was just how marriages were. I just thought that you just had two adults yelling at each other, and the kids are just kind of like, my sisters and I, we would call it there's a storm happening. And we would just, like, hide. We would just hide in the very cute. Yeah. Very traumatic too. So, like, we didn't know. We just thought this was just, oh, this is how it is. You know, parents just fight. And we weren't really equipped with you know, the all these things. But I always think about, like, you know, in what ways did what my parents went through, which is just, like, a crazy fleeing countries and having people blown up in front of them and stuff like that, how did that affect ultimately how they raise their children, you know? And I was wondering if you've ever had thoughts about that. Like, do you ever think about the things that have happened to your country, right, in your people, how does that trickle down to the relationship you might have with your, you know, just with your parents? You know, do you ever think about stuff like that? Do you have any thoughts?
I mean, I think that's a big part of the documentary for sure, is like, you, it is really, you know, I set out trying to find the truth. Mm-hmm. The truth. And really what I end up with is an understanding of who my parents were in those moments, what they went through, and it 100% makes sense. Yes. As to, you know, what, how trauma informs, you know, child rearing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how, you know, so throw up, you know, not even what happened in the motherland, but like just to be in America, mm-hmm. not fully know the language,
yeah.
trying to survive. And that, so that's, you know, that trauma on top of that, you know, and then raising your kids, you know, in multiple worlds, right? Yeah. The one at home, the what you want to, what you want your children to keep, and what you're grasping at in terms of your culture in this like alien world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's just ripe for conflict.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Fumi and I, we always talk about like trying to find your voice and trying to find your truth, right? And you said you came to an understanding. Is there a succinct truth that you feel like you can carry around now that has solved some of this hole in your history for you? Because for Fumi and I, yeah. you know, that's something we're always waiting for, and I'm not even sure if it even is even out there for us. But like, do you feel like you found something that, okay, this is something that is my own truth now, I can start doing something with it?
Yeah, absolutely. The documentary was that for me. Okay. It was the ability to record. Yep. To record and then in the recording ask the questions that have never been asked before. Yeah. And then have essentially evidence to examine. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the ability to craft a story around that, around what I found. And so absolutely it was a incredibly cathartic experience that I by no means was easy.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough how painful, but these, like, you know, like these things are that way for a reason. These are hard fought battles.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if it was easy, I would have, you know, not waited 20 years
yeah.
to like ask questions, right? So absolutely, I now, for better or for worse, like, I understand, and I may not agree with what my parents
yep.
did, but I have so much compassion for them.
Yes.
And I no matter what, I stand on their shoulders.
Right.
We all do,
right,
of our
right,
parents,
right,
their
right.
sacrifices. And the fact that, like, you know, our conflict comes from, you know, our parents have rightfully had a lot of fear. You know, I just found out that Fumi's dad got kidnapped. You know, there's fear involved in that.
Yeah.
Like,
that was, you know, on him. You know, he was being goofy.
Yeah, that was his fault. That was on
that
me.
That was his fault.
Yeah. He's like, well, that's on me. That's
right,
my bad.
Right.
That's my bad. I got kidnapped.
Okay,
that's my
okay.
bad.
But I'm sure he doesn't want Fumi to get kidnapped, you know? And so there's
kids. Fumi's very kidnappable, too.
Yeah,
have you seen
know,
him? He's only like 5'2", so like very packable. Very packable Asian.
I love that's like the standard for a lot of immigrant parents. It's like, well, I don't want my kid to get kidnapped.
I would love, you know? It if they didn't get kidnapped.
So
it's like it's hard for them to have the we have the luxury of imagination. We have the luxury of creativity.
Yeah.
We have the luxury of like thinking about what else can be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They didn't have that.
Right. Yeah. When I was like reading about your documentary and watching interviews, I got really inspired. And Suchin had talked about trying to do a documentary with her own parents when she was younger, but her whole thing was that she wasn't ready for it because she was too young, or she hadn't really been at the place in her life where she could ask these questions to her parents directly. But I feel that, you know, I feel like a lot of Asian parents in America are like secretive. Like they like have these crazy things, but they don't like always tell you about them. They just kind of, if you ask them about it, maybe they'll tell you, but they'll kind of tell it to you casually. And I feel
yes.
that I think the solution is, I think every Asian American kid needs to make a documentary about their parents. That might be the only way to get to the bottom of it. And it's like, I feel like, you know, like I always talk about on this podcast, my dad is very, very secretive. I've only met my uncle, his brother, twice in my entire life. When his father died, he specifically left a note when he died that said, don't invite anyone to my funeral. So only like 4 people showed up. Like,
right.
I feel like he's got some juicy secrets I don't know about, you know? Yeah. And like, maybe, you know, maybe we joke that he's got a second family. I don't know what it is. You know, maybe I've got a half brother somewhere. That'd be tight. But it's like, is there, you know, what is the, if I could do a documentary, maybe, I know this sounds like a crazy idea, but like, maybe that's a fucking way in. Cause you know, now it's like a project and you get a camera and, you know, I don't know. I was very inspired by it.
My parents are so, I'm the only performer in the family. Right. So I was like, I don't know if anyone's going to talk. I think there's just something about a camera that all of a sudden everybody had to testify.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was, I was like, nobody's going to talk. Nobody's going to talk. Like that's, no one's going to open up. And the first, in the documentary, the first time I record anything is with the dad that I grew up with. And I'm like, he's the most private of everybody. Mm-hmm. But he just totally just... He was like testifying. Mm. And I was like, well, I guess I have to keep going.
Yeah.
And I would recommend like just throw up your iPhones, throw up your Galaxy, however you roll. And you know,
you're an Android user or are you an iOS user?
Yeah.
Go ahead and dig into your family's past.
I'm not hating on you.
Yep.
Yeah, like Google phone, whatever you do, you know, like just ask your parents questions. And I think a lot of it too is, you know, you guys know that tension between old school, new school. Yeah. And like when we grew up, we like don't want to hear it from our parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're always like, you know, and as we get older, that's a nice turn, right?
Yes.
Where you start like, no, I actually want to know who you were as a person.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Like who were you when you were a kid? Who were you when you were a teen? And when you're older, you can have that distance. Yes. Where nothing is so like yes, intense, right?
I love that. And a couple things, you know, first of all, it's so true that the older generation, our parents or whoever, they always seem to like drop crazy hints of something. Yeah. And then just casually
too
move
casual,
on.
Too casual.
Like I'll just ask my dad and I'll just be like, yeah, what was it like, you know, fighting in the war? And he'll just be like, he makes it sound like it was so boring. And he's just like, yeah, you know, I would just be out there and then, you know, I saw my friend explode and then I ran like for like 2 days. And then he would just be like, all right, well, you know, can you hand me the remote so I can change the channels? And I was like, what the fuck? You know, like this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And he just casually drops it on like, you know, at 5 o'clock on a Thursday. And I realized that, you know, it's so important for us to have these things because white people got Ancestry.com. You know, they got mm-hmm. that. And I always see the commercial for that because it's like, hey, did you know that my, you know, that great uncle Ebediah, you know, was a milk
Shout
farmer
out.
In Iowa. And they have these records and they have all these things.
Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a nice book, dude.
They have a nice book and it's like a beautiful thing. And then, you know, Ancestry.com. Oh, my gosh, you can learn. But we, you know, for us, you know, a lot of our shit, you know, only... goes far back as people can remember and tell the story of that thing, you know?
Yeah, because let's not talk about, you know, hospital records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? We just got antibiotics, you know? Like, so yeah. It's important for us to have those things,
yeah.
You know, and hey, be your own ancestry.com. One thing I do want to ask, because I do want to do this too, and again, because I got podcast face, so I'm probably going to do it like verbally.
Okay, that's so wild what you guys are saying.
We're
both a very handsome man.
But,
you know, okay, you got a joke. Okay. Because my other thought process, and I know, Mike, you're married, but
hey.
Like the voice dating app could be a thing.
Oh, yes.
And now you guys could like, I don't know, maybe start like a clubhouse club.
Hey.
And make it like voice dating.
That's
Yo,
amazing.
Fubu, write this down.
Just think about it.
Wait, there's a
voice
show like
dating.
This, but... Voice dating. Writing this down.
Voice dating. Write
on
this
Clubhouse.
Down. On Clubhouse.
Voice dating.
I like this a lot.
Yes.
That's
and
great.
You guys are the hosts.
Yes.
I think it. And you
okay,
tie
write this
it in,
down.
You
write
know.
This down.
I'm writing it down. I'm writing it down. I'm writing. Okay. I'm also writing down cool up 10%. I'm writing that down.
Okay. But
well, I mean, also, guys, this is being recorded. I don't. All right. We're
okay. Well,
yeah,
we'll
right.
forget. We're done. But I do. So I do want to do a project like this too. But do you have any pointers for like how to? You know, how to start that conversation or things you know you wish you you know, now that the project is done, you know, is there like a line of questioning that you feel like, oh, I should have done this, you know, because I want to sit down, I want to talk to my aunts and my uncle, you know, my grandfather recently passed away, that knowledge is gone now forever, it's destroyed, you know, so I want to sit down, I want to have these conversations, but, you know, is there any pointers you have for like, if you want to do something like this?
I think, you know, just set up a camera and like, mm-hmm. ask questions, ask about how.
What's the first thing you ask? Know, you like, how do you even fucking get into this? You know, you got the camera, you got the sound guy. Now right. you're sitting in a chair. Your aunt's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
Well, I don't know if you need the sound guy from the get go. I'm saying, you know, don't start with the boom mic. Don't start with like,
you don't need the
crazy
grip.
Lights
you need the grips.
On.
Yeah. Okay. No, all right. You need the best boy.
Klieg lights on your auntie. Yeah. Like, I think keeping it really casual and fun. I mean, 100%. Have a list of questions that you're interested in, but I think to get people, it's just what you guys do in this podcast, and you have everything that you need. You already possess the skills, but like, what were you like when you were a kid?
Yeah.
When have you ever asked that to your parents? Right. What was your favorite subject in school, and what did you want to be? You know, and start there.
Yep.
And then as people open up and start to tell their stories, then you kind of like, you have your list of questions, but then you go, oh, what was that?
Right.
when they drop that casual stuff, well, let's talk about that. Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, so like for me, you know, Origin Story is available on Blu-ray if you don't want to stream it. But in the documentary, I'm talking to my mom about, she's looking at photos and she's like, she goes, I was born in the toilet. What?
Just a casual drop, boy. Toilet drop.
What? What did you say? And you see, my sisters, we're all just like, and we're so quiet and holding our breaths because we don't want to change the molecular makeup of the air,
yes.
So that she goes off to another subject.
Yes.
We're like, really?
Yes.
speak on that, you know, like that. That was like, you know, and so you have. Then you, well, we're gonna talk about that now.
Yes,
we must, right? And then you have that, and no matter what, regardless if the end result is a documentary of any form, short form, long form, feature, whatever, you'll always have that.
Yeah.
No matter what, you'll always have these, which you guys are talking about, which is family records.
Yes.
Yeah.
And guess what? Like when your parents get to be human and not your parents. When they get to tell their funny stories, and when they get to, you get to hear how they were knuckleheads too, like that will only make you closer. And then your kids can have that, and your cousins can have that. Like, I have hours and hours of footage of my family that I didn't use,
right.
But I always have it.
Yep. Yep. So everybody out there, all right, stop taking nudes and start taking pics and videos of your family and get it up on the cloud, okay?
It's
we gotta
content,
get everybody
baby.
Up to the cloud. Get that content.
Get that content, baby.
Hello, Tushy.
The future of toileting has arrived. Okay, it's technically been around for centuries, but hideously expensive, costing thousands.
Now the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable.
Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just cleanse your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself before and after it's used with the Smart Spray automatic self-cleaning nozzle.
It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. So the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in a few months.
Shout out to the people who were part of that study. Because with Hello Tushy, you don't wipe at all. Just poop, spray, dry, and go.
And sanitation is so simple. The Schmutz Shield offers easy cleaning, and the knobs are naturally antimicrobial. It is trademarked. The Schmutz Shield is trademarked.
No way that's real.
The Schmutz Shield is a trademark thing.
Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty.
Already got a tush on your pot? Upgrade to the new 3.0 model. If you're new to the revolution, join millions of Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. It's true, buddy. Go to hellotushy.com/ANA to get 10% off plus free shipping.
This is a special offer for listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/ANA for 10% off.
hellotushy.com/ANA.
Space. We have our guest here, Kulap. And Kulap, if you didn't get it from our previous conversation, she's a Hollywood professional, okay? She's a celeb, an actor, writer. She used to be a showrunner. She ran shows. I'm in the industry. I don't know what a showrunner is. I've heard of the position. I'm not sure what it means because I know it's not the head writer. I know it's not the producer. I don't know what a showrunner does. But I know it's important. I know they make a lot of money. So what I'm saying is Kulap is a very important rich person.
Yeah, you're thinking about like Shonda Rhimes.
And by the way, you said that. You said, I want to be the Asian Shonda Rhimes.
I got a long way to go.
Oh, woo! I can't say this podcast is helping you get there, but you know, we shall proceed.
This is a detour, but yeah.
Yes, but this was in the news a couple weeks ago, and I want to talk about it because Mike and I have talked extensively about both of these shows, never together, but the Golden Globes, the nominations came out, and people are upset because Emily in Paris was nominated for a Golden Globe, but not the HBO show I May Destroy You by Michaela Cole. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about it. One of the writers for the show even wrote an article in The Guardian saying, like, I don't agree with this. Emily in Paris is like, it's fine as a TV show, but like, it's not a masterpiece. Like, I May Destroy You. And, you know, as a TV professional, with everything that's going on, just wanted to get your like initial take on like what you feel about the Golden Globes and this decision and all that.
Oh yeah. It's garbage. I was personally offended for like so many, like I was like, Emily in Paris is not a comedy.
Yeah.
And frankly, either as flight attendant, that's not a comedy. Yeah. Like, that was like making me mad. And then.
Yeah, you're like, offended as a comedian. I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Emily in Paris, like, it's not good. Right. Like, it's not a good show. Like, is it 100% escapism? Did I watch all of it? I regret it. Now I regret it. And now I know better. Let's just say that. I watched it because I was like, man, I'm stuck in my house and I want to go to Paris. Yes. This is the only way.
I would like to go to Paris. Yes.
But, you know, it's not good.
Yes.
Like, and she, the character, oh man. And then it hit me. As if this was on like a newspaper or like papers in my desk. Like, where's Michaela Cole?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where's I May Destroy You?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What's happening here?
What? Right. Where is she? And then I was just like, well, this is enraging. Yeah. Like, it's just so frustrating. And first of all, the Golden Globes, like the Hollywood Foreign Press, like it's just like. It's just like old white Europeans, like, you know.
So they're not all Americans. It's just, I was trying to research on how this process.
Most are not.
Okay. So they're journalists about entertainment from different countries.
But generally, it's Europe because it's like.
It's the Hollywood Foreign Press. Right.
Which is strange because it's like you've got the BAFTAs too, right? So,
yes.
It seems like a lot of them are British. But I that part I'm not positive on. But generally. If you notice all of people are nominated, it's all like, they're generally like, there's certain, like Emily's in Paris, they're all like kind of European or British or whatever. But, you know, exception being, of course, Michaela Cole is British.
Right.
But,
oh my God. Yeah.
But it's just like, it's so stupid, but they do mean something.
Yeah.
Awards in general.
Right. Yes. I think that's the thing. That's the unfortunate thing about comedy and stuff is like, you can be like, I don't give a fuck, but sometimes like you do need other people to give you a nod. It does matter. It does change things in your career. Well, and yeah.
And I mean, at the very least, like a lot of times people find out about shows because they get nominated you know what I'm saying? They get to know after the fact. This is like essentially free press for all these things, right? And it's crazy because all these Europeans, you know, they continue to bomb us just in a different way. You know, they bombed us originally with actual bombs, and now they bomb us with this. So it's
We need to send her the T-shirt we're making.
We're sending
her this T-shirt,
and it's just so crazy because like I couldn't write something like this. Do you know what I'm saying? Where like, hey, let's do the biggest travesty there is because I May Destroy You. I mean, for our fans who haven't watched it, it is clearly one of the best shows that came out this year, if not 100%. The best. It is it Emily
undoubtedly
Emily in Paris. You watch it, and it is the sugar cereal of entertainment, and you can feel your
no nutrition.
Your neurons are just like I don't need to be here for this. If this is what the human is going to do, I don't need to be here. Whereas I May Destroy You actually makes you a better person. I mean, yes, I will say that.
I watched it and I wanted to write an essay. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like no TV show has ever wanted, you know, I wanted to like read some books.
On top of it being entertaining, you know, 100%. It is entertaining too. You
yeah.
know? So,
and they even called Emily in Paris like ambience television or something like that, right? They're making fun of it on The New Yorker and stuff. I don't know. I do think, you know, you're right. This scenario does seem comedic, something that would be in a comedy TV show. Like, hey, haha, wouldn't it be funny if a show like this won? Like, that's like a comedy pilot, you know? Right. And that's why I think there's voter fraud, okay? I think Trump was right. There's definitely is voter fraud.
Right. Not real.
I don't trust these machines that they've been using.
I mean, just again, meritocracy is such a fallacy. Like, oh, just yeah. Like,
that's so fun.
Just so rarely is that the case. And like, it's all, you know, it's so annoying. And I know it's like, oh, well, some people are like, oh, who cares? It's Hollywood. But it's like media and art dictates like they don't. It's not just it's a big part of society. It's a big part of representation. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of like the conversation. So like I'm not saying anything new here. But like our society gets pushed forward and backwards by the type of art that comes through. Like, you know, come at me if you don't agree. Like, you know, I mean, like this stuff matters. Even though nothing matters. Oh,
did we see the tweet that went viral by some like random comedian who's this Indian woman? And she was like, I am as the creator of Emily in Paris, can I just say why the fuck were you nominated for a Golden Globe? LOL, I made that as a prank. And people like believed her. I don't know.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah. That was.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it was so funny because it's such a good point, you know. Because sometimes, and Kulap, you kind of touched on this earlier. It's like sometimes as an Asian person, you just go, maybe I should just make crap, you know? Because you watch something like this, and you're like, maybe I should just make crap because I can make crap if you want, you know. And there's so many times where you're just like, well, maybe they don't want to hear the story that I have to tell. That's actually really interesting and this crazy thing that has happened to my people and my family and all that stuff. Maybe I should just make a, the equivalent of Panda Express, but comedy.
But for TV.
Yeah. But for TV. Yeah. And I should just do that because maybe that'll be way better, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's also still hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but recently I was at the doctor's office and the lab tech was talking to me. She asked me what I do. I said, I'm a writer, producer. Oh, from what? Comedy. And she's like, who are your favorite comedians? I'm like, that's hard, you know, and we're talking and stuff. And she goes, you know who I think is just the best, just like goes hard, just like the best show in terms of comedy? I'm like, what? She's like, 2 and a Half Men. They never let up. And I was like, and you know,
Dude, for real.
Like,
so
I'm
groundbreaking.
I'm in the most vulnerable position.
Yeah, like, she's got a needle in your arm.
I'm not gonna argue with this lady.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
as she stabs and draws my blood, like that's not the time to have an impassioned, you know, debate. Yeah, yeah, but like, I'm like, you know.
I mean, shit, that's most of America. Like, I remember, I think a couple months ago, my friends and I were having a discussion and we were talking about like Game of Thrones and how popular it was. And some guy was like, you know, it wasn't as popular as like some CBS show I'd never heard of that's like on primetime television.
That is
the dream. And we looked at the numbers and
Big Bang Theory
something like that. And like Game of Thrones was like a tenth of the views, like not even close. Just the world is like, we live in New York and LA and we just think like, oh, like of course Game of Thrones, I May Destroy You, like these are the things that's driving TV forward, you know, like challenging things like in the zeitgeist.
It's so it's interesting because it's like, what do you like what do you guys watch that's on network? Are you watching anything?
You know, I
like,
just
scripted, scripted,
consistently,
not
scripted. Or just like for research. I've seen Superstore.
That's NBC.
But
right?
I was trying to do research on like structure and stuff. I'm not like a huge fan.
But of your free will.
Yeah.
Anything?
I mean, like, you know, I think The Office. People watch The Office, right? People watch.
Yeah,
Friends.
But they're watching it now streaming.
Right. Oh, you mean like what's on now? What's on now?
Yeah.
Shit, man. I don't know what channel's network is on my TV. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what is that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So
everything I really like is all streaming.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, I just there's nothing. I tried Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Oh yeah, how was that?
And it started off like, you know, you really got to buy into a lot of things. And I was like, okay, well, this is like a fun departure. People are singing and dancing. And then second season, just like there isn't even like just like a guilty pleasure like
right.
anymore. Right. Like that, I was like, and then honestly, somebody tweeted out after like the Golden Globe nominations, like stop, like if you don't like something, stop watching it because it affects
the ratings.
Yes.
I think the tweet was like, don't hate watch stuff because it affects
yeah.
the notes that people are getting, the shows that people are buying,
right.
wow. like all of that. And I was like, you're absolutely right. Like, I'm not gonna, you know,
damn,
like participate in that, you
yeah.
know, or at least I'm not gonna be vocal about it if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like if people point to like that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, awards, they don't mean anything except they mean everything, especially if you're building a career. And as an actor, you want, you know, as an actor, creator, any part, want to move your status up, want to have higher budgets,
yes.
want to have greater creative control. You get that when you get these types of awards. Like,
yes, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we work so hard, right, guys, on these podcasts.
Oh,
we want to win streamies. We all want to win streamies. We want to win.
I didn't even know that was
iHeartRadio.
There we go. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah, free form best actor. That's what I'm going for. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm out here for these Webbies. You know, let's just do it. You know.
You know, we got to get that. We got to get that Golden Crane, that AAPI podcasting
oh,
awards.
Oh shit!
Hey, I was.
We got to get.
I was a judge on that thing. You know, so hey, and
okay.
I should give myself an award, right? That's the only way to do it.
at least nominate yourself. What were you doing?
No, we like missed the deadline, and then they asked us to be a judge.
We missed the deadline.
We're so stupid.
We missed. No. Hold on here. That sounds like we were negligent. We actually didn't do it. We knew it was coming and we were like,
yeah.
nah, we're lazy. There's like a form. You have to fill out a form. I don't fill a form.
We don't do form.
It's yeah. worse. It's worse. Yeah, we're actually even worse than yeah. that.
In summation, it's hard to be Asian and we're doing our best.
we really are doing our best. I want people to know that. A lot of, because you know how it is. Kulap, you put your shit out there and then some people might be like, you're not representing Asians in the right way. Well, you know what? I fucking tried. And I thought me wearing a wig and a thong was the right way. And I'm sorry that it wasn't, you know?
All right. Send that link. I need to know.
I'm plugging.
Drop that link in
I'm
the chat.
I'm plugging my own Instagram video called Emeling Pyongyang, which is a parody video I made on Instagram. Check us out.
Wait, is that
it's real?
Yeah,
it's on my Instagram.
You
it's got 7,000 views. One influencer retweeted it, and I got some views. 7,000. That's a personal record. Anyways, Kulap, we love you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish we could do this in person because I can tell you're like a very goofy person. And
I think
would
yeah,
loved to,
yeah, exactly.
You, I mean, Zoom is fucking weird, but I wish we could engage in some real-time improv. Ooh.
Do you do,
you know?
Do, you no, do stand-up no. too? Do you do also do stand-up?
No, I don't. Not at all.
You should do it, and we'll come out to LA one day. We should all hang at a show, you know?
You know, I respect stand-up too much to just like kind of like, you know, like just to try
no.
it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
No,
like,
no. We're, that's nothing.
Did your husband do any stand-up or no?
He did. He
okay,
did.
Okay.
He did like it, but his has always been much more like sketch based.
Yeah, right.
Stuff,
yeah.
you know, generally. And he did do a little bit of stand up like the year 2 years that we were broken up.
Gotcha.
He had to fill his time and then we got back together.
It's either stand up or Kulap. That's a hilarious life. anyways, Kulap, where can our fans find
right
you
yeah.
and your work?
You can find me at my house. I'm not going to give you my address, but know that I am
it's real nice.
Only here.
Yes.
It is real nice. I am stir crazy.
Yes.
But you can find me on the internet at Kulap on Twitter, at I am Kulap on Instagram. And if you're on Instagram, go ahead and hit that follow button of at to cart Pod.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Definitely check out their podcast. I've been listening to it all week. It's a good time to talk about consumerism and what that says about your personality, your life, just everything. It's real. It gets real introspective. So definitely check that out. And obviously, Sushin Pak was on last week, plugging the same thing. It's a good time. As always, please follow us on social media at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
We have a Zoom stand-up comedy show. Club, if you want to do some time on a Zoom stand-up comedy show,
do some
about
time.
150 people. It's a good time. It's really fun.
Well, what would I do?
I don't know. You must do something.
You've got some characters.
What? You got characters.
Oh my god.
You and your husband could involve. You know, do some engage in some. You know, married improv. You know, it'd be fun.
I do enough with him. Okay.
Oh wow. But if you ever wanted please know the door is open, you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's no longer of Zoom, it's not just the stand-up show anymore. It's like anything for 10
you
minutes.
You can do all sorts
anything.
Of stuff.
It's like a talent show now.
I feel you could do a crazy story from one of your uncles, you know? I don't know.
Yeah,
I always feel
tell us about how your mom was born in a toilet. Yeah.
Southeast Asian people, you know, we all got like that one uncle who's just like, "Whoa, you know, how did you survive?" You know, and I'm not even talking about the war. I'm just talking about Monday, you know, like how
Yeah.
How did you get through your day, you know, because he's a mess and he's just amazing. So just do something like that, you know.
Anyways, yeah, so
hit us
up if you want to do that. Otherwise, listeners, please, you know, post about us on Instagram and our Patreon if you want bonus content from me and Mike. And we also do like a monthly hangout if you want to get in on that. And our community, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod for bonus content.
What are those hangouts like? What are we doing? What are we up to? Do we got music on
the hangouts?
Background? Yo, the hangouts? What
is hangouts? It's cool, man. Okay, so we just did one. We just did our first hang. So we have our Hack Shitty show, which is stand up. And then the hangouts are, if you like the vibe of two straight Asian dudes just basically embarrassing themselves, that's us.
Okay.
We're cool with we show pictures of ourselves from our past lives. I used to be a hip hop dancer. Oh my god, she's laughing so much already.
Yeah, I used to be an a cappella group. Like, it's a whole thing. It's a whole vibe.
Wait.
I used to be a dancer, you know?
Like, I did not expect that the hangout sessions are you doing historical slides of yourself.
Dude, because the fans are so obsessed with you guys are obsessed with us, by the way. And like they don't
that is
it's weird.
Hangout. But you know what? Honestly, it could be whatever, because you know what? Nothing matters anymore. And you know, if you want to come and do a hangout, honestly, collab, if you want to do a hangout, come hang out. And I would imagine because of Indochina, Lao people are also into Hennessy. Are you guys into Hennessy?
100%
sure.
Because
of Indochina.
Are you guys, because of Indochina, are you guys into Hennessy? So
yeah, that Henny.
We got the Henny. We can do Henny shots. I got a Henny.
Great.
So that's it.
I got a Henny.
Too.
Okay, you could sign me up for a future hangout. That sounds like more my vibe.
Yes.
Okay.
Come chill with us.
Yes.
And I, of course, I'm going to insist on seeing a video of Mike being a hip hop dancer in the past. And 100%, if you don't have video, Fumi, if you being a cappella singer, then you will do it live.
You will 100% see that. And yes. I mean, we got to get Hennessy to sponsor us somehow. Because
this
is amazing.
We really do.
This is their target demo. I don't even know if they have enough information
about how they're killing it. It's under leveraged because I feel like Henny, like, you know, there's the stereotype is that a lot of black people like it, and they do, but there's a whole market of Southeast Asians who fuck with that shit so hard. And
go to laosupply.com and he's got a whole section on just Henny inspired.
He's got a Henny segment.
There's Henny socks. There's Henny blankets.
Okay. I love that.
Check it out, guys. Laosupply.com.
I love that.
Okay, well, right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Cool up, thanks for joining, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye. And we are back with our monthly Patreon shout outs. If you don't know what we're talking about, we always give a shout out on this podcast to our newest members of our Patreon program. So if you want to get in on it, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod for bonus episodes, behind the scenes content. And also, we started doing monthly hangouts, and we had one last night. It was a fucking blast. So
it was awesome.
Listen, you got to check it out and give us your money. And there's, you know, listen, you don't have to give $50 a month. You can give as low as $2 a month. You know, there's all these, there's two, five, 10, 20, 50, something like that. So you can pick your own. So it's for everybody. Please check us out because we are trying to do this for a living one day. You know, I think about that all the time. How cool would it be if I could just do this and make money and go to Hawaii all the time? That's what I'm trying to do. So guys, head on over to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod to get in on it. Here we go. We're going to try to guess our newest member's ethnicities based on her last name. It's a very racist game, but we love it here at the Asian Not Asian Show.
And they love it too.
Yeah. They love it too. Yeah. Yeah. This is like, you know, when you're having sex and you're choking a girl and she's like, do you like it? Kinda. That's like this game. It's right on the nose. Okay. It's
right on the edge. Could go wrong. Could go very wrong. But so, if it doesn't go wrong, it goes really right.
Okay, first person. Nyla Jahan. J-A-H-A-N.
J-A-H-A-N.
I feel Nyla? This is an abbreviated Thai last name.
Nyla Jahan. You know, I don't know. It could be, I want to say it's like, you know how there's actually a bunch of South Asian people like in Malaysia or something like that? And they're kind of like, they have this, you know, interesting kind of curry but also Singaporean flavor going on.
I
want to say that. I'm going to say this person is from South Asia but now lives in an island that has a lot of Asian people. That's what I'm going to go with. That
you're going to go with that.
That's Crazy Rich Asians vibe.
Crazy Rich Asians style vibes. Okay,
yeah,
I like that. Vivian Hsu, HSU. We know that's Taiwanese.
Taiwanese. Yeah,
from our guest Stephanie Hsu. Amy E. Sutton.
Sutton, some British ass name. This is Amy Sutton. Amy. This is Sutton. This is a Pride and Prejudice name right here.
I've never read that book. Isn't that about Russia or something?
That's War and Peace.
Oh shit!
But yeah, man, I love me some Pride and Prejudice, man. You know, say hey. Hi to Mr. Darcy for me, and it'll be
cool. You're Pride and Prejudice Asian. I love
that. Pride and Prejudice Asian. Yeah.
Next, we got Patrick Ryu, R-Y-U.
Oh man.
Now, I've met people with the last name Ryu, and they're Korean. But I always thought maybe it was like some weird Japanese thing. Ryu's a Japanese first name. It means dragon. It's kind of cool.
Hell yeah, dude. But, shouts to the original alpha Asian male, okay?
Yeah, from Street Fighter. I love that no one knows the other two moves, at what they're called. Because he says it too fast in the video game.
He says it too fast, and then like at the time they only had like 8-bit, you know,
audio.
Not even waves, but like, you know, I don't know, like MIDI files, you know, that were.
I think this person's Korean.
Korean, yeah.
Because
Korean.
It's not a.
We know a guy. We know a comedian name with a last name. Ryu.
Alex Ryu. Yeah, exactly. Right? I don't know what. I didn't know that was a Korean name, but I guess it is. Patrick, welcome. Welcome to the gang. Then we got Chasa Dang, D-A-N-G.
Chasa, how is that first name?
C-H-A-U-S-A. This is Vietnamese. You know why
what?
I know?
Why?
You know why I know?
How do you know?
Because
you know?
I think I know this person.
Oh, do you?
If I'm not mistaken, this is somebody who went to my high school. She was my sister's friend. She's my sister's friend. I don't know her like that well personally.
Yeah.
But she like lived near me and we like took the same school bus.
Rekindling here. Hey.
But I'm pretty sure she was Vietnamese.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your analysis?
I'm going to say this person is Southeast Asian. I'm going to say maybe Lao or Cambodian or something like that, because it does have.
She might have been Cambodian. Fuck.
Come on, Fumi.
Well, Dang is Vietnamese, no?
It's an unusual last name for Vietnamese, but it's not out of the question. That's why I'm kind of saying, you know, this is like a mountain Viet, you know, and those mountain Viets, hey man, you know, hey, you don't know where they're from, bro. They're all
true.
Over the place.
That's true. Yeah. So you're a mountain nation. Thank you for joining our Patreon.
Yeah.
Last two. This one's tricky. Jeannie Prasith Pramoti.
Thai. See how long it took you?
I know, but Prasith, S-I-T-H, is that a Thai sound? Sith?
I think it can be, you know? I mean, those...
Genie Prasith Pramote?
See, it took you like 5 seconds to say the name, therefore it's time.
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
Way
Sorry.
Too long.
Then we got Jeffrey Tan, which sounds so boring after saying Prasith
Jeffrey
Pramote.
Tan. Tan.
God damn. Regular-ass Chinese guy.
Regular, old, good old Chinese dude.
A good old reliable Chinese guy.
You know, after some Thai, you want a little bit of palate cleanser.
Yes, Jeffrey Tan. I love a regular old Chinese guy.
Delicious.
Love it. All right, that concludes our shout out. So thank you guys so much for donating. And if you want to get in on this and hear your name on air, please go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod and join the army. We love you. Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.